Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are looking at something that is likely to affect the lives of South African individuals, businesses, and government across the board, and that is data protection, data privacy, and cybersecurity. Now, companies around South Africa may see their costs rising in an effort to actually comply with the long-awaited Protection of Personal Information Act, otherwise known as POPI or POPIA, which came into effect on the 1st of July 2020. The new law, which was promulgated in 2013, seeks to address and ensure greater security of data and privacy in an increasingly digitalized world. The act actually aims to regulate processing and use of personal information by private and public institutions, which will need consent from consumers before using their data. The law actually comes into effect at a time when data privacy and security have become increasingly important in South Africa. According to professional services company, that's Accenture, South Africa has the third highest number of cybercrime victims in the world, with about 2.2 billion rand lost each year through fraudulent activity on the internet. In addition, there have been a number of high-profile data breaches recently, such as with the city of Johannesburg in late 2019. We spoke to some experts around what the new laws actually mean for ordinary South Africans, businesses, and government. To kick things off, Ridwan Boder, director for the telecom practice at law firm ENS Africa, actually tells us who has to comply with POPI.
The act POPI, as well as the Promotion of Access to Information Act, PIA, places wide obligations on both governmental and private bodies to comply with the Act. The Act has only a small number of exclusions or exemptions. Some of the exemptions, i.e. who the Act does not apply to, are as follows. Number one, any institution performing some form of security military or state security functions. So, for example, the South African Police Services, the National Prosecuting Authority, and the like are exempt from the Act. The Act also provides exemptions for any journalist who is subject to a code of ethics, which provides a similar type of protection to data subjects with regard to their privacy. So, therefore, certain journalists are also excluded from the ambit of the Act. The Act also does not apply to pure household or what is referred to as personal or household activities. The final category is that the Act does not apply to any processing of information which has been de-identified but which cannot be re-identified. However, this is a very difficult exemption to rely on. Therefore, in summary, when one looks at the short number of exemptions, the Act applies to a wide number of bodies, both governmental and non-governmental. Any organization or body, irrespective of size, irrespective of revenue, irrespective of turnover, irrespective of how many employees they have, irrespective of the types of information that they process, every single organization is bound by the Act, subject to the exemptions which I have mentioned previously. When one bears in mind the wideness of the terms personal information, as well as the wideness of the term processing, every single person in an organization on a day-to-day basis processes personal information. Therefore, the Act does not only apply, for example, to your HR department or your IT department or to your cybersecurity department, but it applies to every single person within your organization. Therefore, all organizations, both governmental and non-governmental, subject to the exclusions which I have mentioned, are required to comply with the Act.
Ridwan then explains, what are the costs of complying with the POPI Act?
This is a question which we answer in two ways. Number one, there are direct costs for non-compliance. Number two, there are indirect costs for non-compliance. I'll deal with the direct costs first. Any organization that does not comply with the terms of the Act may be subject to both civil as well as criminal prosecution under the Act. For criminal prosecution, the Act places fines and or penalties of 10 million rand or up to 10 million rand and or 10 years imprisonment or both. In certain instances, the information officer, who by default is the chief executive officer of the body, if you are a private body, would face jail time as well in certain instances. It is beyond the ambit of this note to go into what are those instances. But there are direct criminal sanctions which apply in the event of non-compliance. Furthermore, there is the possibility of companies and government organizations getting sued by the data subject and or the regulator as well. And as to the quantum of what that would be, if one looks at international jurisdictions, they could be quite significant. The Act does provide for damages claims for aggravated and non-aggravated damages, for patrimonial and non-patrimonial loss, for legal fees and for interest as well. So there are wide-reaching implications for non-compliance. Those are the direct costs of non-compliance. The greater cost, however, comes from the indirect costs attached to non-compliance. Number one, where there is non-compliance, it likely means that the company has not taken the data security seriously. If a company loses data, especially critical business data or personal information, this in itself can have disastrous implications for the company from a commercial perspective. Furthermore, where companies are required to comply with the Act and they fail to do so, there is also the possibility of reputational loss. When one looks at the breaches which have occurred internationally, in some jurisdictions, regulators have gone so far as to force offending parties to actually take out advertisements in newspapers detailing the instances of breach. Once customers view a company as not trustworthy with regard to their data, especially as citizens and data subjects become more and more savvy as to their rights with respect to data, the likelihood on loss of reputation is significant. Then there's also remediation costs, where a breach has occurred, and if a regulator issues what is called an enforcement notice, the enforcement notice may compel the company to take certain steps, and that in itself could be a costly exercise. So the cost for non-compliance is both direct and indirect.
With the costs of compliance likely to involve much investment in terms of time, energy, and finances, one may ask what the actual benefits are of complying with the new way of doing business. Leshan Pillay, Associate Director specializing in data privacy at Deloitte's Risk Advisory, actually shares some thoughts around what the value is of businesses complying with POPI.
The value of POPIA is beyond regulatory compliance. It is the resultant regulatory dividend that is important. Simply put, value beyond compliance denotes the relative value to several other areas of business operations that are unlocked by implementing the provisions of POPIA. These include, amongst others, enhanced cybersecurity, data discipline, quality, efficiency, and standardization, and an increased data asset value as a result. These in turn reduce the impact of potential breaches on businesses and data subjects, and fundamentally increases business insights through more meaningful data consumption and analytics. This is one of the most powerful levers to increase the efficiency of business activity and improve business performance and agility. This perspective represents an opportunity to leverage a compliance exercise into a business-led, enterprise-wide, and insights-driven digital transformation. The result is a foundation for innovation. POPIA also ensures that customers are empowered to take ownership of their data through data subject access rights, which ensure that businesses understand their customers better by having access to better quality information. POPIA thereby creates an opportunity to revolutionize the way in which business is conducted in South Africa and truly usher in the fourth industrial revolution on the basis of global privacy standards and customer centricity.
With the compliance part out of the way now, Ridwan then explains to us what powers the information regulator has to actually enforce POPI.
During this transitional period of 1 year, the information regulator has largely monitoring powers. However, after a period of 1 year, the information regulator's powers are going to be quite significant. These include, for example, having the ability to deal with any complaints made by data subjects or any party to the information regulator, conducting investigations with regard to any breaches, dealing with registration of certain types of bodies who process certain types of data, dealing with codes of conducts which certain industry bodies may wish to put forward as a standard for that specific industry. The information regulator is also empowered to issue fines, to lodge complaints against offending parties, to sue responsible parties for damages on behalf of the data subject. And the information officer also has powers with regard to breach notifications. One of the aspects of POPI or conditions for the processing of personal information is that there is a proactive duty on responsible parties to notify the information regulator where a data breach has occurred. A part of the information regulator's powers is to then investigate those instances and then to either issue, either call the parties to a room to try and resolve the matter. And where a breach has been found to have occurred, the information regulator can issue enforcement orders. And as I've mentioned previously, may also lay a criminal complaint or file a civil claim against an offending party. So the powers of the information regulator is quite wide. And we have seen the information regulator being very proactive thus far in advising companies of the need to comply. And from one media report which I've read previously, the information regulator has stated that despite there being a 1 year compliance window, there is absolutely no reason why companies should not be compliant at the end of this window, because the act has really been on the cards since 2013. So companies should have started their compliance programs quite some time ago. For companies that have not started their compliance programs, it is not too late. There is still this 1 year transition period, but we do urge them to start sooner rather than later, rather than have the information regulator knock on their doors, or rather than have a data subject complain about the lack of compliance within that company.
Further on this point of enforcement, in South Africa, we've always had a history of having really good plans in place. So we actually asked Lation, as European leaders actually seem to be very serious about enforcement of things like GDPR in that part of the world, does he think that the information regulator will be as serious about enforcing POPI in South Africa?
There are several factors that would indicate that South Africa has the relevant commitment to ensure data privacy is protected in South Africa and will utilize the 12-month period to become compliant. Firstly, the information regulator has been extremely proactive in respect of data privacy in South Africa and has engaged with stakeholders, including government, business, and consumers alike, since coming into office. The information regulator has instilled an ethos of good governance and compliance with POPIA even before it was passed into law, and has been instrumental in several significant data privacy events in the last several years. Secondly, given that data is global in nature, in that it is accessed, utilized, and transferred by organizations globally, organizations with whom South Africa does business will have a vested interest to ensure the highest standards of compliance with POPIA are effected, to ensure they themselves and their customers and clients are protected. In addition, many organizations have dedicated a substantial amount of resources to bring about and ensure compliance. Many organizations are also reaching out for specialist advice on how to pragmatically comply with the provisions of POPIA and build on or mature the foundation that has already been laid. There are several tools that can assist in the monitoring and maintaining of compliance, and there's a continued increase and adoption of cloud platforms and technology over the last several months, many of which include baseline privacy protections and can be configured to comply with the local laws, which also accelerate our compliance in South Africa.
Thank you so much to Ridwan and to Leishan for just giving us a roundup and overview and some insights just around what the Protection of Personal Information Act will actually mean for South Africans, businesses and other organizations. In turn, I think we can all agree that data privacy is this very important thing in our society, because it seems that for a lot of the things that we're doing in a digital world, the exchange of information seems to be the price that a lot of people have to pay to access some of the quote-unquote free services around the world. Your exchange when you sign up or log into a Facebook, Instagram, or other social network is that in Web 2.0, you as the consumer or the user, the one creating the content, and you are handing over your data. And what actually happens with that data is something that a lot of people don't actually take time to actually know about, but at the same time it's something that's being used by a lot of companies, data mining, targeted marketing, that sort of thing. At the same time, there are so many other places and businesses that are collecting data on consumers and individuals and businesses and things like that, and it's always good to be informed around what your rights are when it comes to whatever legislation that there is. And it seems that to a large part Poppy is putting in a lot of safeguards in place for consumers to actually know what happens to their data, where their data is going to go, and some permissions around what data can be collected around them. So that's been it in terms of this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Life. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight, and remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasted. Thank you so much to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.